Welcome to Workforce Insight, the podcast for business leaders looking for fresh insights and solutions to today's most pressing workforce challenges. I'm your host, Bhushan Sethi, Joint Global People and Organization Leader at PwC. In each episode, you'll receive new ideas from experienced practitioners who are helping employers drive workforce transformation. Now, after a year like 2020 and 2021 for that matter, it's time to reimagine rewards. People are motivated to work for companies who are purpose-led, yet they face a future that is very uncertain. Employee compensation needs a rethink if companies are to attract and retain the talent they need for their business. And total rewards, as we found out during the pandemic, is much more than just fair pay and benefits and time off. It's much more nuanced and personalized. In this episode, we'll discuss how companies can develop and implement that personalized strategy and different programs so they can attract and retain their critical talent. I'm delighted to be joined today by my partner, Cindy Fratterigo, who's the champion for our rewards and well-being team. Welcome, Cindy.
Thanks, Bhushan. I'm glad to be here. I'm really looking forward to our discussion.
Me too. So the most important question we have of the podcast, Cindy, is what was the last thing that you bought online for under $50 that you love and use often?
Wow, for under $50. So that's a great question. I'll go with my rice cooker that I recently bought online. I admit, I'm not a great cook, always looking for shortcuts to help me get dinner on the table. This rice cooker is quite amazing. You simply add rice, add water, close the lid, push the button, and boom. 15 minutes later, you have a big pot of rice for the whole family. Maybe not the best answer or the healthiest for the reward and well-being, but still the true honest answer.
It's a great answer. That would get a lot of use in my house as well. It's a great answer. So Cindy, when we think about rewards and we think about the pandemic and what firms have very publicly changed, whether it's base compensation for hires, whether it's minimum pay for essential workers, whether it's different vehicles to pay executives. When you look back, what are the big changes you've seen in terms of how companies are now thinking through their reward strategy?
Bhushan, you know, as you mentioned, like over the past year and a half, the dynamics of the work environment, they really have changed, right? It's that abrupt move to remote work. There's that more gradual shift now to the hybrid schedules and overall need for a lot of flex time for working caregivers and others. Your balance between work and life, it seems to continue to get more and more challenging. That really does add pressure to the workforce. And it really has made employers think, you know, what should they be offering? How can they make that employee experience better for their employees? And so what I think this means in practice and what we have seen is really a shift from the focus on the primary comp and traditional benefits to really more of a holistic focus on rewards and well-being. In the past, compensation and benefit packages, they're often designed looking at market analytics, peer benchmarks. The individual's reward was often tied to, do they meet the company metrics? Do they meet their own personal metrics? What we're really seeing if we fast forward to today's market, and many of those leading employers, they've really shifted more of their approach to data-driven analysis, understanding, you know, what is the data showing us on how to shape our total reward program, looking at the link to the reward strategy and their corporate purpose and even their culture. And today we're seeing the approach really focusing on listening to their workforce, understanding what really matters to them, what's helping drive their engagement, helping them to be more productive overall. This approach has led to more of those tailored programs for the various personas that exist in the workforce. We're seeing a lot of employers helping to engage the employees in the decision-making. I will say the traditional reward packages, as you mentioned, right, their salary, the bonus, the dental, the childcare, some of those wellness programs, those are still important. However, the employers are really casting a wider net. They're focusing on the whole employee from both that personal fulfillment as well as the career fulfillment point of view. The well-being initiatives and that career progression, those have really risen to the top of the agenda. Mentoring goes so far in today's workplace. And finally, I just focus on the work-life opportunities that are also taking center stage. Time is a new currency that has been noted by many employers out there.
Thanks for that, Cindy. So what I find interesting there is if we rewind the clock, maybe 10 years, we did a research around the psychology of incentives. And at that time, people really valued cash compensation as opposed to things like deferred compensation. What I'm hearing now is it's a much more balanced portfolio around different benefits and well-being benefits. I'm just curious how much you see this as being permanent changes in terms of what people value, or changes that are kind of here for the pandemic and we see something different in the future?
Yeah, I mean, pay is always going to be one of those top drivers, but I do believe that it's not necessarily as key. I personally think it is going to be here for the longer term. It's a different way of working. I think that different way of working is going to continue as we go forward. It's interesting, though, with the tax changes potentially coming on, and you reference, right, the deferred comp versus current comp. With the tax changes coming up and the tax impact of some of these benefits that are being offered, I do think as if the personal tax rates do continue to increase, that could shift some of the thinking as well, more towards deferred comp or more towards some of these more tax efficient benefits. But I do think that it's going to continue going forward. Career advancement, wanting to feel as a part of the community at work, having their value, being known by management. I think that those will continue to be key drivers, and that career progression, the mentoring will continue to be a high point of focus.
So you mentioned a number of different scenarios, changes in tax, maybe changes in work location, the whole discussion around should we pay people more to be in a physical office, or if they're working from anywhere, do we personalize benefits to attract critical talent to come to our institution versus another one? You also mentioned the need for data and the need for speed, basically, in terms of how you analyze these scenarios. Can you give us more insight into how companies are doing that? What are some of their roadblocks? What are some of the critical success factors to getting that right?
The data analytics that are out there, companies have been using that a lot in recent times to get it right. And what we've seen is this data analytics, it's really being used in a wide variety of ways to drive the decisions around the future work, the reward and well-being strategy. The tax location is a good one. How do you adjust for that depending on where they work? Some of the data analytics, it's also focused on job architecture, benchmarking, looking to see what are the employee preferences? What do they want to do? Understanding what's driving turnover, the war for talents out there, like what's driving that turnover? How can they retain those people and link them in? It's really that combination that has come together to assist organizations in developing the reward and recognition programs that are perceived as fair, equitable, while also being sufficiently tailored for the different employee populations.
So the concept of value creation, everyone wants to be rewarded for the value they create. And in some roles, if you're in sales roles and production roles, it's really clear to see the value you create, the sales results, etc. But now we think about an environment where we think about all stakeholders and the value that we create for developing our teams, for driving more quality in our supply chain, driving more employment in our community. I think the challenge now for organizations is, how do we hold executives accountable and everyone in the organization for the value they create that's much broader than a financial result? So we've seen now things like ESG metrics put into executive scorecards and compensation, at risk for those. So I think this whole concept of how do you measure the value a company creates and therefore an individual contribution should be remunerated is a topic that's going to run and run. How are you seeing that, Cindy?
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up ESG. Oftentimes when you think about the reward programs and the compensation, you're exactly right. The executives are seeing it in their reward features. I would also say that from the ESG standpoint, we're starting to see like even retirement programs where they're thinking about, do they want to change the investments that they're offering to have some of those ESG related ones in? Or like you think about like the social aspect, talent management, workforce development and education, the improved working conditions. There's just so many different ways to connect that can all touch on that. So we are seeing something similar in the reward program as well.
And you can't talk about rewards in today's environment with the whole great resignation. In our survey, 65% of American employees are looking for other jobs. 90% of executives say their companies are experiencing above average turnover. What's our advice for organizations when people are out there and they're trading up and they're getting competing offers? How do we think about total rewards there and the implications?
Yeah, and often what we find when we're hearing about the great resignation and recruiting and retention, all that good stuff, rewards are usually the first element to be reviewed when there are issues around recruiting and retention. It's interesting, Bashan, as we find that many of the reward and benefits that are out there, they haven't really changed a lot, but the employee preferences for what they need and what they want from their employer has been changing. In the past, offering more money to those at risk leaving, that would often work, but that really doesn't work as well in today's economy. So we've all heard those plenty of stories about people who are willing to walk across the street for the little bit of extra money that might come with it. In PwC's Next in Work poll survey, It was noted that employees continue to rank wage and salaries, as well as benefits, as some of the top reasons that they're looking for a new job. But they also reference career advancement, flexibility as those key contributors as well. In today's virtual and hybrid world, many employees, they're missing that sense of belonging and connectivity with our colleagues and leaders. And so it makes the decision easier to want to leave. So to me, it's really an area of struggle for many companies. And, you know, it's important that companies continue to focus on how are they going to engage their leadership? And that's leadership at all levels to lean in and support that overall employee experience. This will include like enabling the desired flexibility that people want, providing that career growth and the upskilling opportunities, providing that mentoring, the support that really makes people feel that personal well-being, because it really is so unique to each person.
So what I'm hearing is base compensation is table stakes, but giving people the opportunity to develop, to learn, giving them a nice environment that is conducive to them, supported by good leaders, you can't actually value that. And that's really what grabs attention.
Right. That's exactly right, Bishan.
As we look a little bit further ahead, maybe 2 or 3 years, are there any big changes you see? Do you think we'll all be living much more with variable compensation? Do you think that the compensation will be much more balanced in terms of some of those ESG metrics? Are we going to be paid in different vehicles, you know, cash or equity? Are we going to give equity at different levels? I'm just curious, any thoughts out there for the audience?
I think it is going to be some mix. I mean, cash, I think, is always going to still be there. It's going to still be a key component. But depending what industry you're in, depending on if you're a private company or what, I think that there will be some additional compensation elements to it, whether or not it is like an equity type award, or if it's going to be more of a well-being, which really has been driving ahead, will be interesting to see.
And as we think about the challenges that firms have around this, systems and data around this topic has always been a challenge in some of the larger organizations. When you think about job hierarchies, market pricing, as you mentioned earlier, do we have the systems to run the analysis? How are you seeing organizations fare with their systems and their data? That's really important plumbing to get right around this topic.
I would say I see a mixed bag on how the employers are faring. I think there are a lot of programs out there that help people get this right, but I definitely see that there are some employers that are farther along on that spectrum than what others are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of innovation to come on this topic in terms of pay transparency, analytical tools that are out there, different vehicles that people value. So I think it's an important space to watch. So Cindy, if you think about the business and HR leaders listening today, what would your big advice be as they're thinking about how do we revisit our reward strategy? How do we understand people's preferences? How do we understand the systems? What are your big takeaways and call to action there?
Yeah, I mean, my big takeaways and my call to action is really use whatever tool is suited for what you have, but use the data and the analytics that are there to help you drive that strategy. It really is important to understand what are employees valuing. If there are perceived weaknesses in what you're offering, how do you best adjust that and make people be accountable for allowing the employees to see the real value in it? So if you are going to change the time off you're providing, make sure that it's real. Make sure that they are able to get that. Also, if you are customizing these benefits, be willing to take that step back as you're going throughout. Monitor the success of the program. If we've learned nothing through this pandemic, it's how to be agile. So, you know, be agile with your reward program as well, because that really is going to help you retain and attract that talent that you need.
I love the agility point. I mean, being agile in all aspects of our business and our life right now, as well as our workforce, but also kind of the rewards plans. And what I also heard was we need to personalize this, but we also need to be bold. If some firms need to be more transparent with salaries at different levels, then that feels appropriate as well. Wonderful. Thank you, Cindy, so much for taking the time to speak with me today. It's been a great discussion and some really practical insights for our listeners. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this episode of Workforce Insight. Please do visit our website for more insights on how to tackle your organization's workforce challenges. And please do listen to some of the other podcasts in this series.
This podcast is brought to you by PwC, All Rights Reserved. PwC refers to the U.S. member firm or one of its subsidiaries or affiliates, and may sometimes refer to the PwC network. Each member firm is a separate legal entity. Please see www.pwc.com/structure for further details. This podcast is for general information purposes only and should not be used as a substitute for consultation with professional advisors.